You a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable, speaking about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. And he went on to say, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a just judgment for me against my adversary. For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, while it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. And the Lord said, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow in answering them? And I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The Gospel of the Lord. We're still anchored into the Gospel of Luke, and I mentioned some words about Luke in last week's homily, but let me refresh just one or two references to understand Luke and the Gospel of Luke. Luke, as we know, is a Gentile. He's the only Gentile that writes in the entire Bible. He's a scholar. He never knew Jesus, never met Jesus. He is not familiar with the geography of Palestine and the life of Jesus. Yet he writes more of the New Testament than any other author. So he's very important. There is something unique about the Gospel of Luke. It gives us a Lucan Jesus who is very down to earth, has a simple birth with the shepherds, a God of compassion. He reveals a God of kindness and compassion, a God of understanding, a God of inclusion. And the Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of Mary. He gives a special attention in his Gospel to women in the life of Jesus. So Luke has a remarkable uniqueness about his Gospel. He introduces us to a God of infinite love and compassion. I know some of you are at home and you open your Bibles and you make notes about my homilies because you write to me and tell me about that. So I'll tell you to find an insight into the Lucan concept of Jesus. In chapter 10, you have that Good Samaritan, remember that? Chapter 15, you've got the prodigal son. Chapter 18, which is next week's gospel, has the Pharisee and the tax collector. In chapter 19, you have Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, the broken Jesus, the human Jesus. Jesus who is disappointed, who fails to convert his own people. And then in chapter 23, you've got Didymus. Remember Didymus. Didymus was the criminal on the cross that stole heaven just before he died. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day you will be with me in paradise. This is the wonder of God revealed in the Gospel of Luke and unique to Luke. The other Gospels emphasize other parts of God's revelation, but Luke is unique in that sense. So who is the God to whom we pray? Jesus in this Gospel said, pray always. So who is the God to whom we pray? When I was young growing up, you have to pray to the God who punishes, the God who destroys, the God who makes judgments about you. You have to pray that God will not condemn you to hell forever. One major sin and you're dead, you're gone forever. I mean, that's not 10 years. It's more than life. It's forever and ever. I mean, we feared this God that was given to me when I was young. And then you look at the Gospel of Luke and you get a whole new understanding of who the God is to whom we pray. So let me speak about, and by the way, I might say that in all the years I've been at the bedside of people who are dying, the great prayer is to convince the person who is dying that God is infinite love. You are entering into the embrace of God's infinite love. It doesn't matter what happened in your life. The infinite love of God is now and forever. It took me a while in my own spiritual journey to begin to understand this infinite love of God, that I am God's son. God would never hurt me. God would never put me down. God would never abandon me. No matter what happens in my life, the infinite love of God is greater than anything that might happen in my life. So this is the God to whom we pray. So let me speak a little bit about praying. There is no bad way to pray, yet we should understand a theology of prayer. For now, prayer is something we do. Like I say the rosary every day, I say my breviary in the morning, and the evening, the prayer of the priest. But it's not prayer that you do. Prayer is something you allow. You allow Jesus Christ into your life. So prayer isn't something you do, prayer is something you allow. You say, I will set this time aside to allow Jesus Christ into my life. So when we're praying, don't keep talking all the time. Listen, let Jesus Christ into your life. That's the meaning of prayer. Set time aside. And when Jesus says, pray always, and never get weary. He means walk with Jesus. Allow Jesus to be part of your life. Take a second look at your life, the opinions you have, the manner in which you live. Do these reflect the presence of God in your life? The manner in which you treat other people. Does this reflect the presence of God in your life? Are you at prayer? It's not praying, it's to be at prayer. It's to be conscious of God's presence in our lives. That's what it means when Jesus said, pray always, walk in the presence of God. And when you hit a moment of decision, pause and reflect on the presence of God in your life and make your decision based on the fact that you live and move and act in the power of Jesus Christ in the presence of the living God. I was looking for an image that might capture this notion of our need for God's infinite presence in our lives. It crossed my mind that many of us have been to Florence. And when you went to Florence, perhaps the first reason you went to Florence, you wanted to see David. So you went to the Accademia, and you went to this huge aula, this huge hall, like the church here. And there was David up there, and the big crowd coming up, and you were looking at him from a distance, 17 feet tall. David, perfect. The young man in the fullness of his life, the strength, the triumph, the power of David. He was an instrument of God. Go back and read the first book of Samuel there in chapter 17, where he fights the giant Goliath. But he doesn't have the instruments of war And David, Michelangelo's David, has a slingshot and some stones in his hand. It's before the battle with Goliath that this David, Michelangelo's David, appears in the great statue. 1503. He was led not by the power of the world, by the power of God, because he was God's instrument to save the people of Israel from the power of the world represented in Goliath. So he kills the giant. He overcomes the world. The power of God becomes triumphant. And here is this incredible statue of David telling us about fullness, perfection, the wonder of God appearing in the human condition, which in David has this powerful, triumphant image. But most people, when they look at David, they say, okay, I saw David, and they leave the academia. But they're missing something very important, because they didn't go to the hall of the prisoners. Very few people go to the hall of the prisoners, which is adjacent to David. Here are four works of Michelangelo, sometimes called the slaves, the prisoners or the slaves. And these are four blocks of marble, very large blocks of marble, and they're only half carved. The whole person is not carved. And the first one you come upon is the awakening slave. And here is the image of a man partially formed, struggling fiercely, fiercely to become whole. He's only half made, and he's bent over, struggling, fighting to be free and to be whole. Well, when I went to see David, I said, well, he's way bigger than me, he's more powerful, more perfect and everything. But when I saw the slave, the awakening slave, I said, that's me. See, that's our struggle. We're trying to be whole. We're trying to break loose from the being a prisoner of greed, a prisoner of anger, a prisoner of judgment, a prisoner of separating people, division, which makes us less. When we're prisoners like that, we are less. We're not whole. We're praying to be whole. And the person who is whole lives in the presence of God and walks in the power of Jesus Christ. That's the person who is whole. So think about it. The judgments you make, the opinions you have, the manner in which you treat others, the manner in which you understand others, would these reflect the awakening slave, wanting to be whole, wanting to be free? That's what this gospel is about. When we pray, we're praying to be whole. In the third chapter of John's gospel, we have this fellow Nicodemus. I think we've talked about him before. He was a powerful man, member of the Supreme Court of the Jews, prominent social person, a man of wealth. But there's something missing from his life. He's the awakening slave. He's not whole. So he comes to Jesus by night. When John's gospel says by night, it means after dark, but it also means he is in darkness. There's something, he's not whole. He's the awakening slave. He's trying to be free of something, and whatever the world can give him will not set him free. So he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a person come from God, for no one can do signs as you do unless God is with him. Then he speaks about his life. And Jesus says, you must be born again. You must be born from above. in order to have a whole life. You must allow Jesus Christ into your life. I've mentioned before that this elderly priest I used to visit years and years ago was in a rest home. He was a very smart fellow. I liked visiting. He would teach me things. He was a voracious reader. He was a cranky fellow by this time. He used to drink a little bit. But each time I go to see him, when I was leaving him, I'd say, "John, say something wise to me." Well, he said some things that weren't so wise, but on one occasion, he said to me, "Remember this," he said, "Clem, remember, if you want to live more than one life, you must die more than once. You want to live a new life? To what must you die? You're the awakening slave. There's something in your life. It's a burden. It's a conflict. It's a guilt. And you're saying, I'm trying to be free. I'm trying to be free in my life. I want to walk in the presence of God. I want to be at prayer to allow the values of the gospel to be a true and honest and authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. So pause for a moment. Sometime later today or tomorrow, pause and reflect on what is it in my life which imprisons me? What secret do I carry? What anger do I have? What emptiness do I have in my life? A lack of meaning in my life. What's the meaning of my life? Where am I going in my life? What am I expecting for my life? And Jesus says, you want to be free, you want to be whole, pray always and never grow weary. Let Jesus Christ into your life. Amen.